Nice case, 98. Next case is 98, 1855, Plumbers and Steam Fitters Local Union 83 versus Union Local School District Board of Education. Mr. Callum.
I submit to the court that initially we believe there are two pivotal issues in this case. The first of those issues is whether or not the rules of civil procedures may be utilized to join in parties in a certain judgment action. And the second issue is whether or not the people in the school district is in fact an interested party in a declaratory judgment action, which in effect challenges one aspect of a school construction project. I submit to the court that each of those issues should and must be answered in the affirmative. We began this action by filing a complaint against the Union Local School District, challenging very narrowly the bidding processes and procedures that have been engaged in under Section 153.50 of the Ohio Revised Code. We did that for a very precise reason. We believed that our dispute was solely with the local school district, its Board of Education, with respect to bidding procedures. We examined the law with respect to bidding, and we examined Chapter 3318. We had several discussions with the architect in this matter, and we, in fact, obtained bid documents from the architect. After reviewing those documents and the applicable law, we reached the conclusion that there was a defect in the bidding process here conducted by the local school district. That led to the filing of the declaratory judgment action in Beaumont County. Subsequent to the filing of that complaint for declaratory relief, the local school district moved to dismiss on grounds that the State Department of Education, the Board of Education, was in fact an interested party, and even went a step further and said it was the only party here that had an interest in this action, because the local school district was in fact acting only as an agent for the State Department of Education in this construction project. We respectfully disagreed, voiced that disagreement in brief with the trial court, but again took the position that if the trial court was inclined to agree with the board that another interested party existed in this case, that we'd be granted leave to file an amended complaint, join the State Department.
Mr. McCall,
yes.
Did you need leave?
There is some confusion in the brief on that point, and let me clear that up at this point. We needed leave. There was an answer filed by the Board of Education. We filed a motion to file our amended complaint in standard. We actually had an amended complaint filed in this case. We moved the court for leave to accept that complaint in standard, joining the State Department of Education as an additional interested party in this case because of the allegations that had been raised and apparently at that time accepted by the trial court.
That seems to be a matter of debate in the briefs, whether or not there was ever an amended complaint filed.
There was an amended complaint filed on May 5th, 1997.
Okay. But it's filed as an attachment to a motion for leave?
Yes.
Okay. If the court, would you agree that the court, if you are wrong in your position that the district didn't, or the state didn't need to be a party, let's say that you didn't have all the parties before the court, the court could not or was not in a position to grant declaratory judgment in your favor, was it?
I would concede, Your Honor, that if all interested parties were not before the court, that in effect is jurisdictional under 2721.12. Mm-hmm. However, we believe that Civil Rule 57 must be read in conjunction with that statute, and Civil Rule 57 is very precise. Civil Rule 57 tells us that the procedure for obtaining a declaratory judgment shall be in accordance with the rules.
Right.
That procedure we submit to the court includes the joinder of parties under Rule 19 of the Civil Rules. That is what we attempted to do by filing the amended complaint in standard. joint State Department of Education.
Okay, it's not a matter of, this is all complicated, I think, somewhat by the view of the, it seemed the view of the trial court that not only was there a missing necessary party to this declaratory judgment action, but also that it was improperly venued and that it should have, the venue was only proper in Franklin County.
One gets to the venue issue if the local school district is included as a matter of law as an interested party in this case. And that is one of the positions we...
But if you're wrong, let's just assume that if you indeed were your position was wrong. May still be right. The trial court disagreed, Court of Appeals, even this court, disagreed about your position about who should be the party, then you are likewise on the wrong side of the venue as well. Is that...
If in fact we accept for the sake of argument that the local school district is not a district party and we only have one other party,
right,
the State Department of Education, we still have a construction site that is located in Belmont County. We still have construction going on in Belmont County. We have bids that were advertised from the local school district principal office in Belmont County. We have several indicia of ownership in Belmont County, all of which would support venue in Belmont County. So I'm not prepared to concede at this point that simply because the state
that's
department
a question.
And only if rather a single no. party defended that the action would have to be venued in Franklin County. No, we don't concede that at all.
We reverse the Court of Appeals and permit an amendment, would you then have to elect? Well, if you elect and you end up with the state, then venue becomes Franklin County, probably, even though you're not willing to concede that. But do you have to elect between the two entities?
Between the two entities that the parties defended, no, I don't believe so. I believe if we examine the entire statutory scheme under Chapter 3318, Justice Douglas, we will see that the local school district is simply not a passive agent for the State Department of Education. The State Department, rather the local school district, plays a very significant, substantive, and independent role in a school construction project.
And doesn't that give them primary liability, then?
It may give them joint liability.
Well, why would the state then be liable if the effectuating entity is the local school district?
Liability alone is not the only test, I believe, that one should examine in determining whether or not a party is an interested party for purposes of a declaratory judgment action. The state of Ohio and the State Department of Education may, in fact, have primary liability in this case, but it is the local school district, for example, under Section 3318.08, that must procure insurance for the project. It's the local school district that must commit to a share of the construction cost. It is the local school district that must acquire the property upon which the facility is to be located. The local school district must commit to maintain the classroom facility once it's constructed. The local school district must employ an architect. The local school district must, in fact, advertise and receive bids.
How about prevailing wage?
Given the present state of the law with respect to prevailing
before.
Wage.
Before.
I will reserve my opinions on that issue for another day. But I believe once that statutory scheme is examined, we in fact have two interested parties here. I'm willing to concede that point. At this point, we have two interested parties. Under Civil Rule 15, the trial court clearly abused its discretion by not permitting us to file our amended complaint in standard joining the State Department of Education. As I indicated, liability alone is not the only test.
But you say the court abused its discretion. Is that the standard? Because it seemed to me that your first proposition of law really seems to suggest that it's that there's a requirement that a court grant leave to amend here.
And I suggest that...
Is it discretion or not?
I suggest to Justice Cook that the proposition of law is appropriate because of the unique nature of the declaratory judgment proceeding. I think, and
It's meant, well, what's that?
And I submit to the court that this case is a classic example of how the Declaratory Judgment Act should not be administered. The declaratory
But would you, maybe it's just, I'm interested in the procedural point of whether or not, it's, the prop seems to suggest that the court must, and the court must permit amendment.
In the absence of a declaratory judgment action, Civil Rule 15 indicates that the trial court does in fact have discretion to permit a party to file an amended complaint under appropriate circumstances. The case law that has developed been developed by this court over the years, has made it very clear that amendment should be liberally granted under most sets of circumstances. Certainly the later on one...
But are you saying, I mean, I can't seem to get the... Is it, you're saying that the civil rules apply to this action, but the joinder rules are a little different for declaratory judgment?
What I am submitting and suggesting to the court is that the civil rules apply, obviously, to the extent that they do not enlarge, abridge, or modify any substantive rights. In a declaratory judgment action such as this, once a court determines that all interested parties are not before the court, I believe the court should afford an opportunity to the plaintiff in that case to join all interested parties.
Should or must or can choose? What's the standard?
I believe the court must do that under these circumstances.
And what's the, okay, under these circumstances, so it's a special rule? Because I'm looking for what is the requirement? What should I look to in support of your proposition?
I believe it's a special requirement because of the fact that the joinder of all interested parties is jurisdictional in a declaratory judgment proceeding.
Under the statute.
Yes, yes, that's correct. Unlike other civil cases.
Okay.
In this particular case, if all interested parties are not joined, as you indicated before, the trial court is without jurisdiction to enter a judgment.
But, okay, if usually when we read a statute that says thou shalt join everyone, we would say, and the second half of that is, and if you don't, you're dismissed.
And if you don't, you're subject to dismissal. If the question is more narrowly framed as in a declaratory judgment action, does the court have discretion to allow an amended complaint joining additional parties, my response would be yes, the court has discretion. But I suggest to you that discretion is much more easily abused in a declaratory judgment action simply because the joinder of parties is so critical.
Okay.
It is absolutely jurisdictional. We can see that point. Once the trial court is presented with an amended complaint that then brings before the court all parties with an interest in the case, I submit that it clearly is an abuse of discretion for the trial court not to permit that joinder to occur. In effect, what we have here is the trial court saying, I don't have jurisdiction, and I'm not going to permit you to give me jurisdiction by joining the interested parties. That's the flaw in this case. That was not the intent behind the declaratory judgment act.
So it is abuse of discretion standard in your first prop, although that's not mentioned here. That's really what you're...
We're always going to deal with an abuse of discretion standard when the court must make a judgment as to whether or not an amended pleading joining the party should be granted. As I indicated, however, in the declaratory judgment proceeding, I believe that discretion is much more easily
limited. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Because venue is proper in Belmont County. We've always taken the position, Justice Stratton, that the venue is most appropriate in Belmont County. It is the sites of the construction, it is the principal office of the Board of Education. The members of the Board of Education reside in Belmont County. The plaintiff local union has jurisdiction in Belmont County. All the contractors are performing in Belmont County. And the architect.
That's the State Board of Education that requires parties. And then you also do property rights.
venue could be proper in Franklin County, and it certainly was proper in Belmont County. I don't believe so. I may dismiss party in Belmont County. If I go to Franklin County and refile, I have a judgment telling the Franklin County Court that the Union Local School District is not an interested party for purposes of this declaratory judgment action. Our view of the law was that they certainly were an interested party if you lost in this case. I would be required to deal with the race judicata action that would probably preclude
sure,
from
that's
bringing
exactly
in
right.
The Union Local
same
School District
same question
that
was
that
now
Frank
before. That's right. That's right. Exactly what happened.
Right.
Assuming we can assume it both ways, we can assume that for a minute that the state was a proper party, necessary party. But it's what I think it matters a great deal to the resolution of this case whether or not the trial judge had an amended complaint before him. And I mean, if the trial court didn't have one and just the promise of one, it's a different story. But counsel says there was an amended complaint, and I think your brief tells us there was not.
Apparently, Your Honor, in terms of how I was viewing the amended complaint was not filed independently. In fact, it was attached, apparently.
One was proffered with the motion.
It was proffered with the motion. I believe that's the correct indication. We had filed an answer when we filed our motion, and that was prior to our Senate motion filed on behalf.
Do you say that that the appellant here needed or didn't need leave to amend?
Absolutely, would have needed
leave, would right?
Have needed,
okay. And a motion for leave was filed with an attached amended complaint.
It was a part of a motion that said basically, we don't think this is right. That means
in the alternative,
in the state, but if we do,
here it is.
This is okay.
Would you then address the issue of whether or not, assuming that this amended complaint had been, I mean, it was proffered and it was the right thing that the court decided that brought in all the necessary parties, could jurisdiction or venue have been proper in Belmont County?
I've always maintained that jurisdiction would have been in Franklin County because of the state and the Department of Education.
By a statutory requirement?
I think it's by rule. I think it would have been in Franklin County. And there's an argument, of course, that could be made that if the Union Local School District Board of Education is a proper party, they are venued in Belmont County in the case of the state in Belmont County.
In the interest of judicial economy, couldn't the judge have granted the motion to amend the transcript to Franklin County?
I think that is, of course, a possibility, but I think
the court
focused
on the
dangerous was that the
Union transcript
was not a proper party to the action, and as a result, by dismissing it, would actually make it perhaps a cleaner transaction. However, then go and file a Franklin County against the State Department of Education to try to transfer the DA case such as it was to the other jurisdiction. And I think the crucial thing for these people to say in the eyes of the local district board of education is that this is, they are not the wrong party. I mean, even 3318, we get around the contract, we're writing up the contracts, we're writing them up in the name of the state of Ohio.
In your view, that decides the case?
I truly believe that that is the deciding factor in the case, because the fact is that if the state of Ohio Department of Education gives it part, then really these other arguments in terms of the civil rules and the application of the civil rules and the application of Rule 19, however they have been a part of this action, a part of the decision by the 7th District Court of Appeal, nevertheless actually become moot, because really the appropriate party would be the state of Ohio, and you don't have to argue about the application.
Well, it doesn't become moot, does it? Just, does the trial court have a mandatory duty under 19A to join a party if the rules apply? And could they not, could the court not have joined the party and then transferred venue? It happens all the time, if that's what.
If it is proper to join the party, I mean, that's the Copeland case that we have quoted, that the Franklin County Court of Appeals, of course, it said that Rule 19 to 19.1 don't apply under this specific statutory provision 27-21.
If that's true, let's stop there for a minute. If that's true, what does 57 mean?
Well, I think all 57 stands for is that whatever procedural rules apply, but anything that is substantive would enlarge. What we would do here is enlarge by bringing in a party. I think it also is, what is declaratory judgment going to be in the state of Ohio? Are we going to have a wide open ranging declaratory judgment action provision where we don't have to really find out before we file what parties we want to have construed, if their interests construed? Are we going to do it through a discovery process? Are we going to do it through a hideous process of wait and see what the defendant does?
Or an amended pleading?
Or those issues, though, if you go and read 27-21-12 strictly, I think that's been mentioned already, is that, you know, that party, those parties that are proper, are to be brought before the court, and that is the obligation. This is an extraordinary remedy under the statute. It isn't a typical remedy that we're dealing with.
Mr. Hansen, it seems odd that this question about who is the proper party wouldn't have been answered many times over, you know, by this time. But what is your best argument for saying that even if the State Board of Education is a necessary party, that the local school district that is really somewhat managing the project, if nothing else, isn't also a party and under the terms of the statute 27-12, all persons who have any interest should be a party?
Just to go back, I think two parts of that. The first being that we are issuing, and the issue was a bid, 153 actions, whether or not the bid was properly prepared. The bid form by statute comes from the state of Ohio. And the second part of that is during the 18th, which says the contracts are in the name of the state of Ohio. So the fact that Union Local, yes.
Contracting and bidding is only the state board. That's the argument, that this is about the contracting.
Yes, this is
limited to that.
It's about bidding. It's about how the bid.
Well, in the terms of the contract.
And but that flowed on then into the contract, which of course then made that bidding formalized and accepted those bids as submitted. So I think the two parts that is the form came from the state of Ohio. Here is the bidding form that the Union Local School District had used, and here is the contract with the state or with the Union Local.
But even, I mean, in any case where you maybe have an extra party, that, you know, that's usually dealt with by a motion to dismiss that party. And in this case, that could have really been done. There's no point in having the school district in this, Judge. that wasn't done. It was really a matter of failing to allow the joinder of the state board, or permit the amendment of the complaint, which included both. Then you'd have to, I guess you did move to dismiss the school district. That's really what he granted, huh?
Yes, I did move.
Dismiss the case.
I filed an answer, and in that answer, I alleged that they were to have the appropriate party.
You didn't miss it yet. You moved to dismiss the whole case.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. So, I mean, and part of that interpretation, and of course, I guess the second part of this is obviously the application of the civil rules. We submit that by allowing the application of Rule 19, which again, Seventh District Court of Appeals was said to apply in the Copeland case, which is quoted in our brief, indicates that Rule 19 doesn't apply. Admittedly, that was done with a motion to reconsider, but nevertheless, that's what the court said in that application.
But even if it didn't apply, the application is to say that the court must. But even if the civil rule didn't apply, then we're back to the normal situation of a court having discretion to permit an amendment, to add in a party, or not.
I would think that under those circumstances, really, the court wouldn't have that. If it wasn't properly brought initially, the court wouldn't have that discretion because it wouldn't be applying either Rule 15 or Rule 19. Situation because that's an enlargement, that's bringing in additional parties, that's changing the format.
Curing, it could be a curing of the, I guess, if that's really what they sought to do, assuming that the court was correct about having that other necessary party. A party can't cure a defect in filing by amendment.
Well, I think you can, and probably is routinely done in a lot of situations, but I think, again, it goes back to how you interpret this extraordinary.
The DJ being special.
Yeah, under 2721 we have, and we've got a specific statute under 2721. Well, it says that basically you have the parties before you. The parties have any party who has a claim or has an interest is before the court. And that's why it's up to the plaintiff in bringing to appropriately frame it and move forward. And don't just rocket science in terms of what's out there. 3318 is certainly out there. If I read 3318, you see that the bid form, we're arguing about the bid form, it said the bid form was prescribed by the state. You know, you're in the state program, building program, you know that they're orchestrating. And it is. It's a totally orchestrated program. And yes, when it's over and done with, even Mr. McCullough says in his argument that the local has to procure the land. But the statute said the land's in the name of the state of Ohio until that project is over. So it depends on how you view what is really taking place in this instance. We submit that the trial court was correct in making this determination that under these circumstances, the only proper party was the state of Ohio. Could the judge have said, okay, I'm going to let you in and then I'm going to transfer it? I suppose that is a possibility, but again, if Rule 19 and Rule 15 don't apply under these circumstances because the enlargement of the statute and the court enforcement acted properly, but in any case, the fact that it's safe, the Union Local School District Board of Education,
okay. We still deal with the language of the statute, which includes parties affected thereby. It means that it's very broad. I'm not sure you still say that's not meaningful in light of the statutory scheme making the state the key to the bidding.
Well,
it says which requires all persons be made parties who have a claim or any interest which would be affected by the declaratory judgment.
Yes.
Do you think that encompasses the local school district?
I think that to the extent that we're dealing with a declaratory judgment action under 153.50 under this bidding issue,
You think that the cause of that, or the what they seek to have declared...
is a bidding issue which is strictly...
does not affect.
It does not affect.
I mean, the language has to be, does not have any, would not affect the school district.
I would submit that would not affect the school district, because that is an issue under which they had no control, but they did not control that process.
Well, it doesn't say who will be controlled.
No, I agree, but I'm just trying to say that's why I argue that they're not affected, because they were totally separated from that particular transaction. It would be the state that is orchestrating that would have to change its process if indeed that whole issue went forward somehow. There was an interpretation that the process of dividing up these projects was inappropriate.
Thank you, Mr. Hanson. Mr. McCauley, you saved a little over a minute of your time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chief Justice. I have a few comments in response to Mr. Hanson's argument. The statute is very clear. 27.21.12 does not recite that interests and claims must be similar or identical from parties, so they must be affected in a similar or identical fashion. As long as there is an effect on a party, or a party has a claim, that party is an interested party for purposes of the declaratory judgment action.
Tell me again how Union Local is affected by the precise issue, bidding issue.
Well, for example, Mr. Chief Justice, under 33.18.12, the Union Local School District is a partial title holder to this entire project during the course of the project from beginning to end. Under Section 33.18.08, and under Section 33.18.091, Union Local School District must engage an architect, prepare their plans, define the project, advertise for the bid, send out the bid, receive the bid, and make a judgment. I can't imagine a party that would be more affected or interested in this project under those circumstances than the Union Local School District. And as I indicated...
But interested in the project, Mr. McCullough, is that what you're saying? Did you, what's your language?
By use of the term project, I mean the entire project from...
Should we look at it that broadly?
Including the bidding process. Mm-hmm. The school district is a partial title holder to this entire project from beginning to end. I also would suggest to the court that the appellate decisions being relied upon by Mr. Hanson in this case should be viewed very carefully, because what those decisions stand for is the proposition that jurisdiction may not be waived in a declaratory judgment action by applying Civil Rule 19. If you look closely at Civil Rule 19A, you will see a provision that says waiver applies under Rule 12G and 12H. What those courts are saying is that you can't waive jurisdiction under the Declaratory Judgment Act. So to the extent that waiver may have application under Civil Rule 19, Civil Rule 19 doesn't apply. Those cases do not stand for the proposition that you may not use Civil Rule 19 to join appropriate parties. One final party comment I'd like to leave the court with, and that is there are two interested parties in this case, the State Department of Education and the Union Local School District. Under Civil Rule 3B, it is undeniably clear that venue is appropriate to Belmont County.
Thank you very much. Well, the case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion. We'll take a brief recess.